Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
And thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. Understanding how to maximize our relationship with God and man will open unprecedented access to God's wisdom and revelation. Discover the benefits of cultivating your heart and mind rooted in the principles and promises in the Word of God. Are you ready for a spiritual outpouring? Join us for this year's Global Prayer Work Summit from the 17th to the 20th of July in Maryland. Register now at gpwsummit.org. Know today that this is your word of edification. Be enlightened as you listen.
We began at the first service talking about the importance of relationship, understanding relationship as it relates to God and man. God is the divine, or the supernatural. Having a relationship with God, which is supernatural or divine, relating to Him by our spirit and by our soul and humanity, relating to our neighbor or humans. Very important. Come with me to Genesis 2:18, understanding relationship.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him."
So God never intended, this is not just about marriage. This scripture is not just relating to husband and wife. It goes beyond just the idea or philosophy of husband and wife. This is God the Creator, who made us in His own image after His own likeness. He came to the garden one day and saw man. And God is very observant and He knows all things. He saw the state of man that He has made in His image and said, "This is not right. It's not good." The man was never made to be isolated, never made to be alone. Women were not made to be alone and men were not made to be alone. God intended that every man and woman He created should have fellowship, relationship with Him and with others. God created us to have a community, to be a community. The left hand cannot say you don't need the right hand. The right leg can't say you don't need the left leg. You need every organ of your body to function as you ought to function. God Himself has a community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you look at Genesis 1:26, the Bible said, and God said, "And let us make man in our own image." He could have said, let me. But He said, "Let us make man in our own image after our own likeness." He didn't say after my likeness, my image. No, He said, "Let us after our." And even if you look at the Lord's Prayer, if you look at it carefully, it's never about individuals. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Then if you look at this carefully, He talks about give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against. It's never about you and I. It's always about us when it comes to God and the community. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost were never separated until Jesus hung on the cross. When sin came on the scene, then the Father had to disconnect from His Son. And Jesus cried and said, "Eli, Eli, 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 sabachthani. My God, why have thou disconnected?" He felt the separation from the Father. They've been together from eternity to eternity until sin came on the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not made to be on our own. God never created an island on its own, And no one is created to be an island to themselves. Now, it doesn't matter what your reason is for being isolated. There are so many people who have many reasons for being isolated. If you look at the scriptures, when God came into the garden and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Then Adam responded. God was reaching out. God is always reaching out to help you and I, because we are made in His image. He loves us. He cares about you and I, irrespective of the fears we have of God and all the reasons why people don't want to connect with God. There are so many reasons why people don't want to connect with God. And Adam had a reason. He said, I heard your voice. I was afraid because I was naked. It's a reason why people don't want to relate to God, because of their nakedness, their shame, their sin, their own personal guilt and iniquity, self-committed sin, original sin, bloodline sins. And they have reasons why they don't want to connect with God. And some people feel, if I connect with God and I serve God, I won't be able to do some of the things I want to do. I don't think I want to really give up this lifestyle. I still want to maintain this lifestyle. I still want to freak out, and I still want to smoke, and I still want to go around having sex and drinking and fooling around. That is the life I want to live, and I don't think I'm ready to surrender yet, and I want to enjoy myself small, and I want to finish dealing with all of this before I come to God, because when I come to God, I'm not even sure if I can live up to God's requirements and God's expectations, and therefore we are afraid. We have so many reasons why we don't want to come to God. And somebody said, can I really overcome? Can I really conquer? The thing is, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the Bible said, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So it's not about your might and your power to do right. Well, when you come to God, it's a matter of surrender. When you surrender, the Bible says that God is able to make all things. He works all things to his good pleasure. Yes. And in God, we live and move and have our beings. He causes all things to work together for our good. So when you come to God, it is God that worketh in us. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not your effort. What he needs from you is surrender. You surrender, and God says, I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of those longings. I'll take care of those bad habits. I'll take care of the struggle. And Adam said, I was afraid. I heard your voice, and I hid myself. And God said, Adam, who made you aware of your nakedness? It's always been there. It's always been there. I overlooked it. I covered it with my love. I covered your shortcomings, your vulnerability, your nakedness. It's always been there. I covered it with my love. I covered it with my glory. It has never been an issue. Who made you aware? Who are you listening to? The problem we all have is we listen to a stranger's voice. We listen to a stranger's voice who makes us aware of our shortcomings and our vulnerability and our inability to live up to God's expectation. It's a stranger's voice that is always reminding us of our weaknesses, our infirmities, our inability to do right by God and others. That's the voice of the enemy. God said, your nakedness have always been there. I covered it. I never looked at it as an issue. I overlooked it. And that is what God requires of you and I. Overlooking the faults and overlooking the vulnerability and the nakedness and the weaknesses of one another. One of the disciples said, Jesus, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he offends me? He said, 77 times 7, that means overlook. Tell somebody, learn to overlook, learn to overlook. Yeah, don't pay attention. You got to learn to overlook. Because if you don't learn to overlook, you are always going to be bitter. Always bitter. Always offended. And those are strong reasons why people isolate themselves. They don't want to belong. They keep to themselves. In the same church. In the same community. But they have reason why. They can't relate. They are afraid of being hurt. Afraid of being offended, afraid of being vulnerable, and afraid of being taken advantage of, afraid of being exploited, afraid of being hurt, afraid of being rejected. And we got all kinds of reasons why we cannot belong. And until you belong, you will never discover your full potential and the reason for which you were born and the reason for your being. Until you relate, you are always limited and restricted to what you were born to do and accomplish. Because you see, God never gave it to one person. Everybody will always need somebody. The lawyer will need a doctor. And the doctor needs a lawyer. Everybody needs somebody. Irrespective of what you think, you need somebody. And somebody needs you. We are complete in Him and complete in one another. And never in ourselves. In one another. Deuteronomy 32:30.
How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord has shut them up?
So here you see that one ability is to tackle 1,000. But two takes care of 10,000. The best you can do on your own is to tackle 1,000 enemies. But you can do better if you join with others. We are always better together than when we are alone. It doesn't matter how smart, gifted, and good you might be. You were never created to be alone. During the pandemic and the lockdown, we are told that more people died out of loneliness and isolation than those who died by the pandemic. And a lot of billionaires died during the time of the lockdown. They died out of loneliness. They died out of isolation. Millionaires jumped, threw their lives away because they haven't learned mastering. They don't know how to deal with loneliness. Don't know how to deal with being isolated, because we were never made to be isolated. We use things to fill that gap. It's a gap that only your relationship with God can take care of. Yeah. They have money, and the money couldn't fill that void. It's a void. Only your fellowship with God fills that void. Nothing else. Money can't do it. Power can't do it. Sex can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. Drugs can't do it. All the things we call fun cannot fill that void. Only God, and God alone, fills that void. Somebody, put your hands together, say something. I was telling them in the first service that Mobutu, President Mobutu, was one of the most richest Africans in the world in his days, and African president. When he died, his casket, his body, was in his private jet. They carried the body across nations, and they even came to Ghana. And Ghana would not accept his body to give him a befitting burial. His pilot was frustrated having the body of the president, Mobutu, with all Mobutu's money and power. He couldn't get a befitting burial. It took the message of the king of Morocco to say, bring his body here, we'll bury him in Morocco. If this is what all the money and power people are breaking strategic relationships for, losing compassion and humanity for others, thinking that money fills the void and money is everything, you are a fool. And a very big one. If you look at Saddam, he was found in a pit, in a hole, with millions of dollars. What he put his trust in. Cursed be he that put his trust in the arm of flesh. His trust, his confidence was in the arm of flesh, was in money. He believed that money does all things. And he was found in the hole by the Allied soldiers. in a hole with millions of dollars, that couldn't save him. If money was that powerful, money could have given him the wings to fly. Gaddafi was found in a hole, in a pit. You know what our problem is? As human beings, we are not students of history. We have short memory. We don't study history. But if you study history, you realize that it's not worth losing your humanity and compassion for humanity, for anything, because all of these things are sinking sand. On Christ, the song, Lake Rock, I stand on the ground. It's sinking sand. On the ground, it's sinking sand. On Christ, the song, Lake Rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Please be seated. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the things we call found is sinking sand. The Bible says some trust in chariots and others in horses, private jets, the latest Mercedes and BM, you call them, all those things we call importance. Some trust in horses and in chariots, but we shall remember the name of Adonai. We shall remember the name of the Lord our God. Come on, somebody, put your hands together, say something. Hallelujah. Give me Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
So you see here, he said, with all your heart. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So your heart. Turn to somebody and ask them, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? You see, a lot of the issues we are dealing with is a heart issue. Is what is in your heart. The thing that is in your heart will always determine what you say, your attitude, and the outcomes of your life. What is in your heart? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, before thy soul and thy mind and thy strength. It's your heart first. Your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart proceeds the issues of life. What is in your heart? What is the condition and the state of your heart? Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But it begins with the heart. What is in your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Do you have bitterness, unforgiveness, an offense, pride, arrogance, fears? There are people blaming God for their situation. Some of you are literally holding God at ransom. But stop blaming God. You are angry with God for whatever reason. One of our movies is coming out called The Calling. And in this movie, there was a guy. Thank you for clapping, but you have to watch it. Tell somebody, don't just clap. Watch it. Watch it. Amen. And he claimed to be an atheist. And he was chasing the bishop's daughter. And yet he said he didn't believe in God. He was an atheist. But the lady really stood her ground and said, you can't ride this car without a license. And he tried everything. The guy can rap. Hey, the raps were heavy. His raps can slay you. Yeah. The raps were so powerful that if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you fall under the power. But he could not. He couldn't win with the bishop's daughter. I was so proud of her. And the bishop's daughter said, I need to understand why you are an atheist. Why you hate God and you hate the church and you are angry with God and the church. And he said his dad used to drive the church van, had an accident and died. Then the mother was asthmatic, and she didn't have a certain machine. What do you call that thing they inhale? Is it inhaler? She didn't have money to buy inhaler. And when it comes, it was a big issue. And one day, she was gasping for breath. And the little boy, she sent the little boy to run to the church and ask for help for an inhaler, something. When he got there, the security, those of you who are security in the house of God, we thank God for your sacrifices, but also be very careful and be very discerning and don't lose your humanity, because sometimes in the name of security, you can ignore what is mostly important. I'm not saying you shouldn't do your job. Do your job, but don't lose your humanity and your compassion. Amen? And I know it's hard to be security in the house of God, because people have all kinds of mentality when it comes to the house of God. So it's very, very important that we realize that it doesn't matter what your justification is. You are in violation. If you don't have a relationship with God and you are not relating to man, you are in violation of the most important two principles and laws of the Hebrew scriptures, the synopsis, and the Pauline revelation. You are in violation. Come with me to Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 22.
Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
You see the word again, with all
thy heart.
Talk to me, with all
thy heart.
Underline it, with all. That comes before thy soul and thy mind. Yeah. The heart, your heart. Look at someone and say, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? And ask somebody else, where is your heart? Where is your heart? It's a heart issue. A lot of us are cold at heart, mean at heart, offended at heart. Go ahead.
And with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
That's it. He said these two fulfills all over 600 commandments in the Mosaic. And over about 11,000 rules in New Testament. These two commandments. Loving God. Having relationship with God and man fulfills all the law. God always is reaching out for man, because we were made in his image after his own likeness. Always reaching out to us. And we're always running from God. Always dodging God. We never have time for what matters. But we have time for everything. I was telling them in the first service that people struggle to come to Wednesday service. And they think that just showing up Sunday is enough. And Wednesday you don't see them. But the Wednesday services are for your own good and your own profit and benefit. But we make excuses for everything. And we never pay attention to what matters the most until it's too late. I pray that you never cross the red line with God. I pray that you never be so isolated and wait till it's too late before you respond to God. Your relationship with God matters. Your relationship with your neighbor matters. You must never allow power, money, anything to come between you and God or your neighbor. You must never lose your humanity and compassion because of money, material blessing, power or position, callings or giftings. Must never isolate you from your brethren, because whatever you have was given to you for the benefit of others. We are not blessed for ourselves. We are not blessed for ourselves. We are not gifted and anointed for ourselves and our family. It's always for the benefit of God's people, the benefit of the church. This isolation is dangerous. And it's a plan of the enemy to isolate us from God and our neighbors. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
That's it.
That is it. Okay, give me Mark chapter 12. Verse 30 to 31. Mark 12, 30 to 31.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
You see? With all?
With all thy heart.
Talk to me. With all?
Thy heart.
With all? Talk to me. With all?
Thy heart.
That is low energy. With all? Again, it's a heart issue. Tell somebody this thing is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. What is in your heart? You know, I was telling them in the first service how when it comes to relationships, marriage is a covenant between two people. No one person marries. When they come to the altar, the bishop will ask, Bishop James will say to the man, will thou have this woman? Is it your wedded wife? Your what? Lawful? Lawful wife? Etc., etc. And then he will say, yes. Will thou love her? Comfort her? In all conditions, say yes. Then the same to the woman. Will thou love him and respect him? Submit yourself as unto the Lord? Yes. So they all have vows they make that forms the covenant. Then when they marry, one chooses not to honor the terms of the covenant and decides to disobey the terms of the covenant, dishonor the terms of the covenant, but expect to benefit from the covenant. And even does things in violation of the vows of the covenant and still expect the covenant to work and has the audacity to tell you that what God has put together, no man should put asunder, when you are willing to disannul or annul the terms of the covenant. You won't honor the terms of the covenant, but you want the benefit of the covenant. Now, the church and preachers are so hypocritical that let one party decides that if you are not honoring the terms of the covenant, then I'm not staying in this relationship. Because your refusal to honor the terms of the covenant is an annulment of the covenant. So I'm not staying in this covenant. And sometimes one can even choose to do everything to annul the covenant. Can do anything against the covenant. And the other person has to endure it. Just endure. Stay in it. Still want to enjoy the benefits of the covenant. And let the other person make an attempt to try and walk. We will crucify the person. We will crucify and we will throw scriptures at them. The same scripture that is supposed to set us free and to be a blessing will become a snare. That's what the Bible says. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Because you can wrongly divide the word of truth. And I've seen people snared by the same Bible that is supposed to set them free, they become prisoners and captives of the same Bible because we have a bunch of religious people in the church. All they know is the Bible says they know the letter of the word, but they don't know the spirit of the word, and they have become Sanhedrins and Pharisees and Sadducees in the church. Just holding people at ransom, keeping people in prison, throwing scriptures at people. I'm not giving you license to misbehave, but I'm saying that let's be real. Let's be real. Let's confront the issues. Let's talk about the issues. Let's deal with the issues. When people are out of order, we must call them to order. And what is wrong is wrong. And what is right is right. Come on, put your hands together. Say something. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 21. Look at 1 Samuel 18, 21.
And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.
So watch this. Marriage is a good thing. But there was an agenda when it came to David's marriage. And this was the agenda. And study David's life. Micaiah truly became a snare. She was a big trouble. And she was the only woman in the Bible who died barren. God will not heal her barrenness. Yes. Because she became a snare in the life of David. She was a snare, a trap, an ambushment. And not that alone. that the hands of his enemies may be against. So she became an opening for the enemy. There are people hearing the sound of my voice whose husbands are a snare, and their husbands are openings for the enemy to reach them and access them. There are women who are snares and openings for the enemy in the life of men, will not honor the terms of the covenant. But let that man and woman try to walk. We will throw stones at them and crucify them, because we have become keepers of the law, keepers of the word of God, Sanhedrins and scribes and Sadducees in the house of God. So people are enduring pain they shouldn't endure, enduring foolishness. Yeah, people are holding people at ransom. There are men who will tell their wife, you can't read the Bible in this house, you can't pray in this house, you can't go to church, I'm the head of this house. You get it wrong, Mr. Head of the House. You get it wrong, because you are the head of the house, but you are not the head of her salvation. You are not the head of her redemption. You are not the head of her faith. The Bible says, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And because the woman or the man wants peace, they will say, okay, I'm not reading my Bible for peace sake. You can't fast in this house, they won't fast, peace sake. They won't pray, peace sake. They won't go to church, peace sake. You can't help the church, peace sake. So they endure, they live in peace all their life. And then the man who was a believer when they married backslides, and insists that the woman should also backslide. Then he said, before we make love, you have to drink. You are too tense. You are too tense. I need you to be lem. Yeah. So take something. Smoke. You are looking at me. I'm talking about reality. Issues we don't want to deal with in the church. Covering everything. Preaching nice preachings. And people are in prison. People are in prison and in jail. In the church. Modoko la kasala. Esala katuwala hasin. Malahanda kawasin. Ilei tu kawahadiyas. Imolakido masala. It's possible Michal didn't even know the reason why she married David. But somebody knew. There was a mastermind, a whole king was behind the marriage. Make sure that David married Michal. He had a reason for the marriage. What is the motive and the reason behind your marriage? Yes, sir. Why did you marry that man? Why did you marry that woman? Is it because you are growing old? You want to have children? And everybody is marrying. If that is the reason, after the marriage, the reason for the marriage is over. As soon as you have children, you don't need the man again. Or the man don't need you anymore. It wasn't built out of a heart thing. It's not a heartfelt thing. You were looking at her some way. You like the shape of her body. Yeah. I know you are angels. So we shouldn't talk about this thing. We are spirits. Yeah. So we should just say the Bible said about. I'm going to talk about reality. You like certain kinds and shapes. Yeah. You do. So you marry her. And you marry him. Because of certain kinds and shapes. Then when they start having children, their shape begins to change and melt. Then now you are looking for another shape. You married him because he had a bushy hair. You like his hair. And after a place, his hair begins to disappear. Then you are looking for the latest bushy hair in town. You are looking at me. You think I don't know you. Come on, put your hands together. Say something. It's a heart issue. And it's in the church. And we don't want to address it. See, I hear you. John 13, 34 to 35.
A new commandment I give unto you.
Uh-huh.
That ye love one another.
Uh-huh.
As I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
Uh-huh.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
So hear this. You keep hearing love, 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 love. Love is of the heart. It's not of the mind. For the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So we love from our heart, not from our head, but the heart. Is there love in your heart today? Are you in love from your heart or from your head? Is it a heart love, heartfelt love, or is it a feeling? Is something to do with your mind? Love from the heart. He didn't say, you shall know them by their power, by how good they preach, by how gifted they are, by how anointed, by signs and wonders, by how sharp they are in the prophetic. He didn't say that. He said, you shall know them. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Today the church is full of hatred. With this, we hate one another. We are envious of one another. Yeah. You see, there's a difference between envy and jealousy. God is jealous, but God is not envious. Yeah, jealousy is a good thing when you are jealous over your wife or your husband or your children. Jealous, it's good. But you have to make sure that it doesn't go beyond the boundaries. Because sometimes you people can be so jealous over what is not even yours. But envy is when you become covetous. And when you want something that belongs to someone else that is not yours. And you go to any extent to kill, steal, destroy, to have something that is not yours. That is envy. And there's a lot of envy in the church. There's envy in the church. Yeah. People come to church and all they are looking at is the latest chick. Yeah. They are looking at the chicks. Yeah. I know you don't expect that kind of word from the pulpit. Yeah. You want me to say a nun. But hear me, it is what it is. Let's stop all this hypocrisy we are playing. And let's stop acting like we are angels. We ain't no angels. You come to church and you are looking for the latest guy. You are looking around and see who is there. Stop all these things you are doing. And then stop it. Turn to someone and say, stop it. Stop it. Yeah. When the Bible says, Jesus said, many shall come in my name. And will say unto me, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We perform wonders and miracles in your name. Mighty deeds in your name. And Jesus will say, you hypocrites, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me. And that word, I never knew you, is the same word. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve. Same word. And that word, knew Eve, has to do with relationship. Intimacy. And God said, all this time, you were using my principles to do what you wanted. You never took time to build relationship with me. We never had a relationship, but you used my principles. And my principles, they work. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the demons were subject to us in your name or through your name. So the demons are not subject to you and I. Because we are anointed and powerful, is the name of Jesus they are subject to. I remember when I began, some of the bishops will tell you, when I'm ministering, there will be all kinds of manifestations in the church. Demons will be screaming and shouting. And you know, when I was a young preacher, I used to feel very good about that. I used to feel, Charlie, I'm powerful. You see how the demons are reacting and they are crying and I'll say, carry them, bring them. Ushers, run, run, over there, run, run. And they are carrying and they are praying. And I used to feel very powerful. Till the Lord dealt with me. And I realized that, hey. The demons are not manifesting because you are anointed. Oh. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's the presence of Jesus. It has nothing to do with how anointed you are. And there are little things we take credit for and it's prideful, but we don't even know it. But may God forgive us. Are you hearing me? And he said, you use my name. You had numbers. You were healed. You did great things. You cast out devils. You healed the sick in my name. You used my principles, but you had no relationship with me. I don't know you. You are a thief. If you take my car key right now and go to the car park with my car key and you start my car does not know who the owner is. My car responds to the key, not the owner of the car, but the key. And you can take my car anywhere you want to, do whatever you want to do with it. Until you are arrested, you have the key and you have the car. But all along, till you are arrested, you are a thief. Kromfuo, Julo. And there are people like that using the name of the Lord, using the principles of God to achieve things and do great things, but they have no relationship with the master. Jesus said, I don't know you. You never had a relationship with me. God wants to have a relationship with us today. He wants to fellowship with us. But in order to have a relationship with him, you have to surrender and stop talking about your nakedness, your vulnerabilities, your sins, your iniquity. He knows everything about you. There's no secret about you that he doesn't know. Just come and surrender and he will fix you because he's a fixer. If you believe he's a fixer, put your hands together and give him praise. He's a fixer. Somebody scream, he's a fixer. He's a fixer. Matthew 7:12. We've read that one.
No. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law unto the prophets.
You see, so it's very important. People expect everybody to do right by them, but they never do right by anybody. They do wrong by everybody, and yet expect everybody to do right by them. It doesn't work that way. People don't like me. They don't treat me well. They reject me. Are you nice to people? Do you treat people right? Do you do right by others? Or you are very arrogant and a prideful person? When you have power, how do you handle ordinary people? You know, I tell my kids, when we are coming out from where I live, it's a gated community. And the security always will open the gate when we are going out and open the gate when we are coming in. And I always tell them, when you get there, stop the car and greet them well. And ask them, is it well with your family? Is everything okay? And be nice. And I tell them why you should do that. Because I said, me, your father, I could have been the security guard at the gate there. And you would have been the son of the security guard. And there's nothing wrong about that. But I said, learn to be nice to people. Learn to treat people nice. Especially when you have power and money. Be careful how you treat ordinary people. Because time changes in life. Put your hands together and give God praise. Some of you sisters, pray, Father, I need a husband, Father, Jesus, Father, husband. When you become a madam, the way you scream on the security people, on the cooks and driver, you become madam. You scream, hey, move the car. Hey, madam. And you brothers, as soon as you break through, you don't treat people well. You talk to people anyway, anyhow. Your wife, you treat everybody basa. You are from the village. You haven't seen money before. That's why you are misbehaving. But if you've seen money before, you behave yourself. Tell somebody, behave yourself. Put your hands together and thank God.
First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
You see, so it's very, very clear. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. It's very clear here. That if we say we are walking in the light, then it's important that we have fellowship with others. This thing of, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be rejected. I'm afraid of being vulnerable. We have all kinds of reasons why we should not obey the scriptures. We disobey the scriptures and we justify why we should disobey the scriptures. But God said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you must, and it's mandatory, have fellowship with the brethren. It is God's command. And we disobey God's command. And yet, why me? Where is my God? Today, may the blood of Jesus intervene. May the blood speak for everyone hearing me. Say yes. Put your hands together and say yes. Come on, say yes. Lift up and say, in the name of Jesus, I will not be a victim or a casualty of any projection, manipulation, calculation, or programming of the powers of the dark kingdom. Me and my house will not be victims. Put your hands together. Pray that prayer right now. We will not be victims. We will not be victims. We will not be victims. We will not be casualties, nor victims of any projection, of any programming, of any calculation. In the name of Jesus, say amen. Sit down for a minute. Let's finish quickly. Come with me to 1 John 4:20 to 21.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
You see, it's a principle. And there are people in church, they are so spiritual. They are in the spirit. They claim they love God, but they have hatred towards others. They hate the brethren. They don't fellowship with anybody. And yet they are so much in the spirit. Yeah. So much in the spirit. Prophesying. I was talking to one of my bishop friends. I've known him for about 40 years. And I remember a joke of in those days where you have all these spiritual sisters. And when we come to church, they will come together and say, my children, 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 hear me, children. My children, hear me. Tali, 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 tali. Then they are scaring us. We bind every tali, tali in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come with me to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12.
Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and the threefold cord is not easily quickly broken.
That's it. If I bring your whole broom here right now, you can bend the broom, you can't break it. Take one out of it and it's easily destroyed and broken. We need a community. Until we become a community, we don't stand a chance. The way the world is going, the challenges that are confronting the world, the challenges of the United States, the division between the two parties and the two aisles, the unrest in the Middle East, the fight of Ukraine, and things that are yet to happen around the East. If you look at the situation between China and Taiwan, there's unrest everywhere. The only way we will stand is when we become a community. If you break away from the community, you will not survive. Matthew 18, 19 to 20, and I'll probably just stop here and continue again by God's grace.
Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
So God is the God of community. This isolation, I don't need anybody. Who told you? Who told you you don't need anybody? That is pride. That is arrogance. To think and to believe that you human being, you don't need anybody in this world and in life is arrogance, is pride, and you have lost your humanity.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.